Welcome to the Aspire Community Church podcast. Join us today as we explore biblical insights for demonstrating the love of God. We pray this message brings you encouragement. You can visit us online at aspirecc.com or follow us on social media at aspireccva. Now on to today's message.
And I want to encourage you to simply that, trust God for the outcome. First, I want you to understand something. There's nothing wrong with trusting God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I got one. Right. There's nothing wrong with trusting God, but you cannot, what we can't do is force God to act or to we try to force him to meet, if you will, our demand. And I'm using demand versus our prayers. Now, sometimes we think what we're doing is praying to God, right? But really what we're trying to do is demand God to do the thing that we want him to do, all under the umbrella of prayer. And I get it. Sometimes the lines are blurred when we think that we're praying, but in fact, we're trying to demand an outcome that God doesn't support. Amen. We're trying to demand an outcome that God does not support. So let's pray real quick. I think I better pray on this one. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We pray, Lord, that the words of our mouth, meditation of our heart, will be acceptable, Lord God, in thy sight. God, give us an ear to hear, give us a heart to receive, and Lord, help us to embrace this very concept or thought of trusting you for the outcome. We pray, God, that you would be with us and direct us and guide us in this time of fellowship today. In Jesus' name, let's say amen.
Amen.
I was thinking how people have a way of getting themselves into trouble. And then when things don't go the way that they expect, what we do is we look to God to get us out of the trouble. What happens is we may, a lot of times, either while we're in the midst of this trouble, where we're praying and we're saying, God, get us out. Lord, can you get me out? Right? And he's answering us. And he's providing a solution. He's even sending a message from God. I don't know, like on Sundays, or you might send somebody your direction. The Holy Spirit might give you direction. Hey, you can't do that. And then when we don't really listen or hear his voice, what happens is that God allows us to go headlong into that problem. Mm-hmm. The next thing you know, we're stuck. I'm going to give you some examples. Sometimes we could buy a car or a house, right? And we can't really financially afford it, you know, but you go on and buy it anyway. Next thing you know, you're in the house and you start struggling. And then next thing you know, what shows up at your doorstep is a foreclosure envelope. And then when that happens, what do? We're in a situation and we probably had signs that were saying, well, your income is not strong enough to support that payment. You probably shouldn't do that one. Maybe you should look for something else. Maybe you should, you know, just wait about 6 more months and then you can get a better interest deal. So whatever it is, no, I need it right now. But then we're in this situation and the foreclosure papers come. Next thing you know, you find yourself crying out to God, God, help me, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said to God that you can help me, right? And what happens is that God, he does hear us. He hears us in that moment, and he gives us an answer to our problem. And you know what his answer is? Foreclosure papers.
Amen.
His answer is the foreclosure. What? You mean to tell me that God would allow my house to be foreclosed? Yes. Yes, he would. And the problem with that is that the foreclosure doesn't align itself with what your expectations are. We didn't expect God to say foreclose. Look, wait. Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but that don't make sense. Oh, we're talking about God here. We're not talking about ourselves. Sometimes, let me give you a better example. Can I do that? I'm going to give you a personal example. My wife and I experienced. She'll probably get me later. But we bought a car. So I told my wife, we're going to buy a house, a brand new spanking house. It was a model home. And I said, Lori, we're going to get this house, and then I'll buy you a car after we get in the house, because we can't buy the car before the house because I don't want no other debt, right? So we went and we bought a car after the house. Yep, we were driving that car. It was a nice car. It was a Volvo. It was a nice little thing. Here, we're driving around. And then I don't know how long it took, but next thing I knew, I came home and the car was missing. So where the car? And I was like, we figured it out. It was repoed. Can I be honest today? I normally don't tell this, and it's quite embarrassing, and forgive us, Lord God, but it's right. It got repoed. And I was like, that didn't work out. Right? So what do we do in the midst of our situation? We begin to pray, Lord, will you help us? Will you help us? Help us, Lord. And we missed the signs. I missed the signs. This is not on Lori. I missed the signs, because there's always signs and the Lord is always giving a message. But because of image, right? We're driving a Volvo. We just bought a new house. But where our financial situation really became strained, and we were praying, Lord, can you get me out of this situation? We didn't know at the time that his answer to our problem was repo. Everybody say repo. Yeah. Repo. It took me some time to understand what God was saying. It took me some time to understand what he was saying. Because it was just one of the most embarrassing things that could happen. So I want to take you to a scripture so that you can understand what I understood. All right. This is, and this, we're going to Romans 8:28. It says this, and we know that all things, I got it in red up here. You might want to underline it in your book. All things. Help me to understand what all things mean. Everything, right? So what can we put under all things? What are some of the descriptions or adjectives that we can use? When we say all things, are we talking about good? We can say good, right? All good things. We can say all bad things. We can say all ugly things. We can say things like repo or foreclosure. All things do what? They work together. For good. They're working together for good. There's nothing good in the repo in my mind at that time. Nothing. But it says here, and I highlighted it in red again, to those, for those of you who were here last week, remember that? To those, this only works to those. Those what? Those who love God. Now God is involved. So he's saying, we know that all things, this is the Apostle Paul, he's talking to the Romans, all things work together for good to those who love God. So important question. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. And you want God to work things out. We have to learn to trust him for the outcome. But he's saying, listen, if you're going to trust me for the outcome, you have to lean heavy on this thought right here. You got to trust me that all things will work. It's going to work together for good. I know what your expected end is. I know what you're trying to achieve. Stefan, you said, help me, Lord, with these bills. Help me, Father, with our circumstance. But nowhere in my mind that I could ever think that the answer to our problem would have been a repo. But then as I look back over the years, I found the solution. One of the first things that we were able to do, is take that car payment that I had that was so high and use it to pay all of the other bills. It was so simple. Things began to just balance out all of a sudden. You know, and you know what else happened, Miss Jacinda? You know what else happened? Somebody, they said, "Oh, we're so sorry." They didn't know that it was just repo, but we they recognized that we were a car down. So somebody went out and they rented us a car for a whole month. We didn't even ask them. And during that whole month, while we were renting a car, and I started calculating up the money. So we got to get this car back. This is too much money for somebody to be renting a car for us, right? And we gave it back. In the meantime, if I'm not mistaken, I think her sister went to go buy a car and she bought a car for cash that day. And when she got done buying the car for cash, she took the keys from her old car and gave it to her sister. Now we don't have a car payment at all. And we got another car. All things work together. Now, there's a little obscure way of getting to the end. But God is working together. He's working. He's working. He got all things working together for our good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. For good. For who? To those individuals who love him. To those who have a heart for him. And it says, to those, there it is again, who are called. Are you called? Called according to his purpose. Now, that's another whole conversation altogether, the his purpose part. So it took me some time to really understand that the repo that I thought was a bad thing really ended up being a good thing. And then allowed us to balance out our debt load, all because I made an unwise car at a time that I should not have bought. And I thought I was asking God, but really I tried to force the situation. Maybe y'all not following me. So it took me some time to understand all things. Everybody say all things. You can't pick and choose what things. You can't pick and choose what things. You got to understand he's talking about all things. So today I'm here again and I'm just sharing with you that I really don't know who needed to hear this, but God wants you to fully trust in his ability to know what's best on your behalf. Amen. Let me see what we got here. Yeah. We have to trust in God's ability to know what's best on our behalf. That makes sense, right? That's what trusting God is. It's putting everything in the middle of the table and says, okay, I'm all in with you, Lord, because I don't know. I don't have a clue on how this thing is going to end up. But I'm going to trust you for the outcome. I'm going to trust you for the outcome. This is important. This subject that we're talking about, trusting God and trusting in God's ability to know what's best on our behalf. Why is it important? Because trusting God is hard. And it's hard because it takes the control out of your hands. It takes the control out of your hands. Some of us must learn to simply lose control. In other words, you have no control. It's out of my ability. It's outside of my ability to manage. You gotta lose control. Trusting God is hard. Some are gonna tell you otherwise, but I'm here to tell you, I don't know about you, but it's really hard. Why? Because if you're the type of person that you've been trained this way, you got to have an answer. You have to have a solution. You know how to fix it. Oh, don't let it sit there that long. If you're that type of person, this is going to be difficult because you're saying, what? I can't do nothing? No. It's not that you can't do anything. He wants you to do something, but he doesn't want you to do anything. You have to trust in God's ability to know what's best on your behalf. So you have to lose control. What makes it hard to trust God is when we believe that we have a better outcome. I can fix this. Oh, I got the solution right away. I remember that moment. One of the things that I did to try to fix that repo situation, I remember I was looking for a place to give me a small loan. Maybe I can get a loan. It's crazy now, right? Now I think back on it and I see how crazy it was. Maybe I can get a loan and they're going to give me the loan and then I can take it down to the car dealer, to the tow company that towed the car and pay them off, also pay the back that was in the rear. But think about it. If I had the money, where am I going to get the money to make the payment the next month? Where am I going to get the money? Then I got to pay the loan back that I just borrowed that I really didn't have the money for. I wasn't really thinking. I was trying to take control of the matter. Not only did I do that, I remember calling the company where we got the loan from, our initial loan payment from. And I remember, hey, can we refinance this thing? It's too late, Stefan. You already repoed. What was I trying to do? I was trying to keep it. I was trying to control the matter. I was really, 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 if I'm honest, I was embarrassed. We had to go to church with your car. Oh my God, don't ask me that question. Embarrassed. So I thought about, oh, I'll just call my aunt for it. My aunt Vi, because Aunt Vi was smart with finances. But then I just couldn't pull myself through it. I couldn't do it because I would have to explain what happened. Listen, what I had to do was lose control. I had to remove the control myself. My former pastor would always say, he says, sin always, always will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and then ultimately cost you more than you have to pay. That's what happens when you get too deep in sin. It takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you need to stay, and then ultimately cost you something so much more than you have to pay. The question is, I have a couple of questions then. Can you handle the outcome if it wasn't what you were expecting? Can you handle it? If it wasn't what you were expecting, will you be okay with the outcome? To get the car repo, it took me a little bit to get okay with that. And fortunately, you know, like I said, to have a repo on your credit, right? It's just not a good thing. Now you go to get another car, they're gonna say, oh, wait, you know, it's gonna be a flag. So I remember over time, because what they did, they end up selling the car and the car had a balance on it that we were responsible for. And I was gonna just let it sit in limbo until I could figure out a way to pay it. I wanted to pay it all off, but that was another problem because I was trying to fix it, right? So I thank God for who he is and the grace that he had upon me. And so what happened was we found out that the bank that we got the loan from went out of business. It got swallowed up, I guess. I don't know what happened to it. And then there was this company that called and said, hey, we got this loan for this car. And I remember reading something from Google, you know, Google everything. I remember reading something from Google that said, you know, you can dispute this if necessary. Now, I had a responsibility. I probably should have paid it, but hey, you know, what's my punishment? So they said, you have to pay the balance of this. But I said, sir, I'm understanding that the bank went under. Do you even have a contract? Because I would be willing to pay it if you could just show me the contract. I don't even remember what it is. Maybe we can negotiate something. And he said, we don't have a contract. Well, sir, if you don't have a contract, how can you hold me to something that you don't even have proof that I even own? I'm not denying that I didn't own the car, but however, you got to show me the contract. So lo and behold, he went to go look for it. And according to what I read, if they can't find it, they have to remove it off of your credit report. So thank the Lord it got removed. So I was only on there for 2 years. I mean, that was punishment enough. I recognize I did a bad thing. But look, what did I say a moment ago in Romans 8 and 28? All things work together for the good. Now, this is not the expected end. This is not something this is not the path that I would have chosen, but I am grateful for what took place. We have to trust God. We have to trust God's ability to know what's best for us. So in this case, the repo really wasn't a bad idea. It was a good path to take, right? And what else did it do? It taught me a lesson. Don't go buy something you can't afford. Can you handle it? Can you handle the outcome?
outcome if it wasn't what you were expecting.
What we attempt to control the most, this is, I was listening to a gentleman, he said this, I would love to say that I said it, but he didn't, He said, what we attempt to control the most might reveal where we trust God the least. That's what happens. There are areas in our lives where we, we try to control things the most, like our family members, family. You ever try to control family? Maybe that's the area where you trust God the least. Or maybe some other place. What about your job situations? Anything like that? You try to control that situation and the outcome of how things are going to go. Maybe that's where you trust God the least. What about our health? You know, God gives us signs all the time. Take care of yourself. Don't do that. Didn't I tell you don't do that? Watch out for this. But no. I got this. This is my body, Lord. You gave it to me. Remember? Maybe that's an area where you trust God the least. There are other areas like bills and children. How about some of our future? Some of the things that we might be anxious about, leading or something that we're afraid of. That maybe we want so much control. I gotta have my hand on it. I gotta be the one to figure it out. I got a solution for it. Just let me handle it, Lord. No. Maybe that's the area that you really need to go back to the Lord and really pray about, because that might be an area that you trust, that you have the least trust in God about. We think that this culture that we live in, and sometimes it's frustrating to me when I hear some of the things that other people are preaching and pastors. Don't get me wrong, I'm not judging them, and I'm not saying that I'm the best preacher. I know that there's so much more space for me to grow. But when I listen to it, we paint this picture that everything is going to work out so well for us. Now, we think that living for God and surrendering our lives to Christ and trusting God, we believe that the outcome will always give us a happy, healthy, comfortable, and trouble-free life. Let me say that again. Because we live for the Lord. And this is some of the messages that I hear. They will never tell you that it may not end up the way that you hope that it would end up. They never tell you that you might have to suffer this one out. Yes. But instead, what we always hear, the outcome is going to be healthy, it's going to be happy, comfortable. We're going to live a trouble-free life because we serve God. Unfortunately, Jesus, he didn't invite us to a life of comfort and ease. He didn't do that. But he literally invited us to a life of sacrifice and surrender. That's what he invited. That's the life that we've chosen when we follow Christ. That's what the life that we've chosen. All right. Okay, Pastor. So what do we do? What do we do with this understanding that you're giving us today? I need you to just simply do this. It's just trust God for the outcome. I'm really admonishing you to really hang in there. Learn how to trust God for the outcome. I don't know the outcome. And so here are two things that you can do. And I'm not going to dive too far in there. But it's this, it's living a life of surrender. That's one thing. You got to learn. We're going to come back on Wednesday. We're going to talk a little bit about this. What does living a life of surrender looks like? What does it look like? And also not a sacrifice, living a life sacrifice. That's what we're asked to do, right? Trusting God is living a life of surrender and living a life of sacrifice. What are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender? What are you trying to control that God wants you to surrender or to make a sacrifice in? I have to evaluate. I'm evaluating my life. Lord, I don't want to be the one in control, because there's too many times that I've made decisions that I ended up going down a path that I should not have gone down.
When we think about the people that followed the Lord, I thought about Peter immediately. And in the book of John 21:18, Jesus was asking, this was on the bottom end of Jesus asking him the question. He said, "Hey, Peter, do you love me?" And he kept saying, "Yay, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to Peter in 18th verse, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." Why? Because he chose to follow him. He spoke this signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to them, he said, "Look, Peter, follow me." What is Peter doing? Peter has chosen a life of surrender and sacrifice. Can I talk about another one? Paul. Paul was a similar one. Paul was on his road to Damascus. He got met by a light. He thought he was doing the right thing. Acts 9 and 15, when he was blinded, and then he was instructed to go to Ananias. And God told Ananias, "Look, I'm sending Paul to you. You know that one who was going around bringing other Christians to death?" But the Lord said to him, he says, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer." How many things he must suffer for my name's sake? How many things are you suffering for the name's sake of Christ? That's something to think about, right? But we have to trust God for the hour. He's calling us to live a life of surrender and sacrifice. Everything is not going to work out. Everything is not going to work out where it's happy, healthy, comfortable, and trouble-free life. But my wife and I, we had a wonderful discussion. We understand that the word of God tells us delight ourselves in the Lord. So this is a big conversation here. What does that mean in light of all of these things? Most of the time, and this is our conclusion, we don't really spend a lot of time studying God's word to fully understand what God is saying. Did you know that the word of God has the capacity to bring balance to our life? It has the capacity to just even out everything there is that is of trouble. It gives you insight, it gives you wisdom, it gives you knowledge, it gives you the ability to choose. And so sometimes they say, "Stephon, nothing moves you." No, what happens is my mind is automatically trying to go through, it's scrolling the scriptures in my brain to see where I can level this thing off based upon what I know the scripture tells me. That's the only reason why I'm not chaotic right now, because I'm looking for what God's word says. What is he asking of us to do? He's asking us to trust in God's ability to know what's best on our behalf, on my behalf. Romans 8:28, he says, "For we know that all things. Oh, I love that piece. It encompasses everything that you can think of. It doesn't exclude something. It's so simple. What should we look in the Bible for? What does the Bible mean? What was the Hebrew definition for all things? What is there a Greek interpretation of this? Do I need, thesaurus and something to tell me what all things meant back then? Did it mean something different from today? No, it means everything. Everything, the good, the bad. Yeah, he can use even the ugly. Why? For one purpose, to work good for those individuals that we talked about last week, those people, those, only those who love God and that are called according to his. Well, what's that purpose? What's it makes you want to ask that? Well, what's my purpose? I don't want to get into that. So when you come in the midst of your problem or your situation, you know what we have to ask the question? We have to ask, when you come into this situation, you're at the crossroads of life, you're at that why. And you can feel your energy wanting to solve this issue, but it's outside, you can see that it's outside of your capacity to manage. The questions that you should be asking is, Lord, is it mine to control? Or is it for you, God alone? Yeah. That's the prayer we should be praying. Lord, 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 am I having to get involved? Is this for me to run down and come up with some witty invention on how to solve this problem? I didn't do that with the repo, y'all. I immediately just jumped in there. Think about the Lord, is this mine to control? Are you giving me access? Or is it for you, God? Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. If you jump down, I was thinking about this. It was so interesting. Jump down into the, if you're there in that passage, Romans 8 and 28. If you jump down to the 31st verse, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, if we're really trusting in God, if he's for us, who can be against us? If we're going to trust him for the outcome, he says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, my desire is your desire. I really want to meet your end, but I just may not choose the same path that you choose. You got to trust my ability to know what's best for you. He goes on and he says, 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? Who is this person? It's Christ. He knows what your needs are. He's there to fight for you. 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? In those moments when it's so tough and we feel like that we have to manage it ourselves, what we have said to ourselves is, God is not with me right now. Let me figure this thing out. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I love you. I'm right here with you. There's nothing that will separate me from you. No tribulation, no distress, right? No persecution or famine, no nakedness or pearl or sword. None of these things will inhibit my ability to know what's best for you right now. It's written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Don't you see surrender and sacrifice right there? Don't you see it? It's right there, right? For this sake, we're killed all day long. We surrender. And we are counted as sheep. We're being offered up as a sacrifice. Yeah. 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. He's looking for those who love, right? So that he can love us. And then the writer goes on and says, you know, we used to get real happy on this one. Then we had a good bass. Then next thing we'd be shouting, for I am persuaded. You know how they go. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord.
Amen.
Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us for what he wants to do for us and to us? So, you know, I often ask that question, what if? What if what? What if we trust God for the outcome? What if we just simply trust God? That's the heart of what I'm saying. Learning to trust God for the outcome. What we have to do, if we remember from last week, we have to learn to make peace with the wait. It's the waiting process. It's the time between the incident and when it's going to happen. Now, everything that I told you about that repo took years to take place. For it to be removed from my credit report. It didn't happen overnight. And I had to become comfortable with the outcome. I'm grateful for it, because it with something like that on your credit report, it can hinder so much more, but it didn't hinder us. It didn't hinder us. What else do we have to do? If we were to make, we need to have tremendous trust in God, that he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. He knows what's best on our behalf. He knows. Lord, I'm going to have tremendous trust in you today. I just can't have trust, but I need to. I need to level up my ability to hang in there. Why? Because if I don't level up, I might go ahead of you. There is no weight, and there's definitely no peace in this. And then lastly, let me move on. Lastly, let's lose control. It's not in your ability. Our society teaches us that we should always have an answer. Basically, you said, if it didn't get done, it's your fault. And so what that tells us, that we don't need God. And really what we really want, we need to be asking the question, Lord, is it mine to control, or is this something that I need to leave for you? I think that's a fair question. That means that you went to God in prayer and he answered you. Remember the scripture, I think it's in John, he says, my sheep know my voice. That means he spent time with them. He says, I know them. I know exactly the ones who they are. And you know what they do? They follow me. They follow me. So what am I asking? Simply, again, trust God for the outcome.